morning, I got an Uber. It was the first one I've ever gotten, and it was pretty easy to do on my phone. And there's had the list of all these things, like you can get a black car, you can get a black SUV, and I was like, well, I'll get the XL. You know, I'm a big guy. So I thought the XL meant the size of the passenger. So I clicked on it. Of course, I am curious why it costs $40 to go 1 mile. But at this time, you know, I didn't want to be late.
Does it come with snacks? Like, what's going on here?
Well, I get in the car, and he's like, where's everyone else? And I was like, this is it. It's just me.
All right. So, hey, first time in here. This is really an honor. Peter Burns, SEC Network. What's up, man?
I am the voice is a little bit raspy, not because of singing or anything like that, so may have been served a beverage or two yesterday, and that's what makes this event so cool here in Nashville, is the fact of the proximity to everything.
Yeah,
right? Like, and then I mean, going in the elevator and you see a Florida fan, there's an Alabama fan, there's an Auburn fan, and they're talking ball, and you literally, last night I was thinking about it, I was like, this is going to be the perfect SEC Network commercial. Yeah. Because you had 8 different fan bases all talking to each other, a couple of people talking trash, yeah. And they're like, hey, you know, everybody's good except for Kentucky people. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was great. And now, you know, the difference in the product in hoops compared to when we first launched in 2014 is damn night and day. Like, I mean, I remember going back from football season in 2014, and you have this high. Remember Mississippi State had that run, and Dak Prescott, I mean, all these great storylines. And you got to basketball season, it was like Arkansas was good and Tennessee was okay, but then you had Kentucky, and everything else was like brutal. And then now you look at it, and there are like 7 teams could win it this week in Nashville. The product is better, the fans are showing up, there's an actual passion. I mean, it's,
what do you credit that to? Is it Sankey making it an emphasis?
Yeah. I mean, I think Sankey looked at that and go, we dominate. We kick everybody's ass when it comes to football and the fan interest and ratings and obviously revenue. They do pretty well on like baseball, softball, golf, every single sport. Why would basketball, one of the revenue generators, why does that lack? So I think that they went through and they looked at it and says, okay, we need to put an onus that this is not just a football conference. It's an everything conference.
Right.
And you already had the solid bones of good programs like in Arkansas and like in Kentucky. And you had the basis of some programs like LSU, who's had runs. You've had Ole Miss had some runs. You've had other squads that have gone and had their small runs of success. But why can't you sustain it? And I think it came down to coaching as well, too. It's like, all right, why are you hiring just okay coaches when you're like, dude, you get the best of the best. Like, you do it for every other sport. Why would you not do it in basketball?
Yeah.
Can you help us make sure we get, I know we're going to Dallas for the next media days, but it would really help us especially, but we should just do media days in Nashville.
I mean, listen, trust me, as a person who does morning radio for SEC media days, I have no interest in Nashville. In fact, I want it to be in like Ruidosa, New Mexico or something like that, wherever you live, like out in the boondo. Yeah. Where are you at?
I'm Jefferson County, Tennessee.
Give me Jefferson County, Tennessee. I want no Ubers. I want no bars. I want nothing. That way I'm just there to focus on
so you miss
the
Hoover.
Games.
Yeah.
Listen, Hoover... I love, people always talk about Hoover, but Hoover is one of those things that it made it uniquely SEC, where you just had the people over in the lobby and you had the crazies that would show up, and those are, you know, it's part of the lifeblood of it. Now, I am glad that they're going to Dallas, just simply the fact you get Texas and Oklahoma in, and that's going to be such a huge storyline. So, but again, hoops tournament, as long as you can keep it here in Nashville, I think it's going to be here for a long time. That's great. And I'm a firm believer. I love the SEC baseball tournament in Hoover, Alabama. Like, it's one of those still events where it's so family friendly.
Yeah.
Like, you just people have made it over the years. Like, we're going to take vacation. We're going to go down there. The kids are there. They have a good time. So, you know, I think a lot of that is lost in the billions of dollars of college athletics any longer, of like, what is a true family environment? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you kind of found it.
Yeah. And we were talking before you showed up, your Twitter's one of our favorites,
which is the
SEC fandom that oozes from that. Are you, and I'm just curious, are you like just like a stat nerd or something, or are they feeding
well,
you that from info, or how
no,
is it?
No, it comes from, I look at all of this stuff of, am I proud of what I do? Am I proud of where I'm at? And am I proud of the product that I cover? And truthfully, I am. You know, so a lot of it is just my idiotic ADD brain looking at going, Wait a minute. Everybody's saying that the Big Ten is right there equal with the SEC and all these revenue sports. Like, let me dive into the numbers. And you start looking at the numbers, you're like, all right, there's a narrative there, but it doesn't meet the facts.
Right.
And so I'm damn sure going to make sure that I point that out any single opportunity that I get. And vice versa, you also have to be able to eat crow, too, when you get things wrong. Yeah. Like, I, the whole Michigan thing situation this year, I was pretty strong on that. I probably had to turn off the DMs for a while and the Twitter mentions as I got Wolverine fans all in their feelings about it. But at the end of the day, too, that's what sports is all about.
Right.
Like I don't want to cover anything that people aren't passionate about.
Like
I fell out of love out of the NBA a couple of years ago, because I just felt like, hey, do the people that are playing the sport, people that are running the sport, do they care about it as much as I do as a fan? And I didn't get that way from the NBA. I still get that way, even with all the changes in college football and just the fandom. And just, like, if you're saying crazy stuff about it and you're passionate about it, I love it one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you ever fired off a tweet and then, 10 minutes later get a phone call and say, hey, can we bring that one down?
Oh, buddy.
Oh, wait, what's the filter?
Like, I need to have
here?
One of those bracelets. Like, what would Tim Tebow tweet? Like, that's what I need to have because, oh, yeah. I mean, that's like, I've never been called into the principal's office for anything that I've done on air.
Yeah.
But with my thumbs on a phone, I've been called to the principal's office many times. I'll never forget the first SEC championship game that we had. For the network is I'm all excited. We're there. We're having a great time. And I'm kind of new to the television world. And I'm not new to media because I knew sponsors and whatnot. But remember the Dr. Pepper halftime toss, right? So I used to be able to tweet whatever I wanted when I owned my own business. And I said something along those lines about like, hey, I can't believe you're doing the chest pass.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. It was worded probably a little bit different. And literally as soon as I sent tweet, I believe that a lot of our executives and a lot of people were actually in the Dr. Pepper suite. And I got a phone call like 5 minutes later, like, hey, we're with the Dr. Pepper people. And I got five people showing me a tweet that you just sent. And I'm like, got it. And so it was funny. It was a good learning lesson because you realize the symbiotic relationships between doing stuff on air and having clients. But then we turned it into a positive. I was like, actually, I kind of want to know, is it harder to throw the football with the Dr. Pepper challenge? Where you got to throw it into the hoop or underhand.
Right.
And I actually did it. And I believe I was doing Feinbaum that week. And I actually went through it and I was like, holy hell, it's so much easier to do it underhand and like the chest pass as opposed to like just throwing it like a normal quarterback. So I was like, there you go. Maybe we tried to turn it into a positive and
I noticed that like at a Dave and Buster's, the guy with the high score of the basketball, we all want to kind of just play basketball.
Oh yeah. It's not Dalton Connect or it's not Steph Curry or something like that. I mean, there's a famous video that like the Asian guy that's doing it. He's just underhand over there. And you're like,
at the rim,
So, I mean, you go back and look at like, what was it? Rick, I want to say Rick Barry, but that's not the case. Famous basketball player back in the day. And so he would shoot underhand free throws. Will Chamberlain for a while shot underhand free throws. So I don't know if that's going to make an appearance here. I think people would get clowned so much on social media that they end up quitting. But again, if it works, it works.
If it works, right. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite coach or player that you've interacted with?
It's such a loaded question, Mike, because there's so many people in different parameters. Like I love Saban in covering him because there was legitimately a process. It was his brain was always working. Kirby Smart. I mean, Kirby is as intense of a competitor as I've ever met in my life. So funny story. So we used to do this thing called the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl Challenge. And it was where a lot of golfers the coaches would select one player and they would play in the Chick-fil-A charity event. And it would be out at Lake Oconee. And it's the first year that Kirby is the head coach at Georgia. So Hugh Freeze is over at Ole Miss. And, I mean, it's a pretty competitive deal. Like, Saban would always pick Mark Ingram because Ingram was a really good golfer.
Yeah.
Okay? And so we'd go through all of this stuff. Well, Kirby in his first year comes up. He plays pretty well. But they're getting blown out by, I think, Hugh Freeze and Wesley Walls was his teammate. So as I'm walking off the course, Kirby starts talking to the CFO. Okay, of Chick-fil-A. Not the person running the tournament, like the chief financial officer of tens of thousands, one of the largest, you know, fast food corporations, the CFO. And he's like, yeah, you know, this Kirby voice about, we need to make sure there's some handicaps in this thing, because I play some golf with Hugh, and I don't know about his handicap. And Gus Malzahn, I mean, my God, I play a lot of golf with Gus and stuff. And so I'm thinking it's kind of a fun conversation. He's just kind of ribbing him. I go get some water, whatever. I come back a good 6-7 minutes later. And Kirby is just like, I mean, I'm just telling you, if you're going to have a tournament this way. And this poor CFO is like, buddy, I'm just, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. But it was a really good insight of how Kirby works. Like, if he's going to get in something, he's going to be after your ass, no matter if it's a charity golf tournament, if it's recruiting, if it's, I mean, whatever. And he gets that actually from his wife, who was a former basketball player. And like, they're huge, huge competitive. Like, one time we were shooting something over SEC Network. And me and Kirby, like, he's showing me all the football facilities. And they have, like, a little Papa Shot thing there. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, let's stop. We'll film some Papa Shot there. And his wife just happened to be in the building. And she was like, hey, I'm going to take the kids there. And she's like, oh, y'all doing Papa Shot? We're like, yeah. And they're like, oh, I want a piece. So she comes up. And then she hops, like, she hits, like, 18. Kirby hits 17. And he's so pissed off. He's like, no, we're going to do it again. And I'm like, that's, you know, I was like, I love it. Like, just it's the competitive nature of all of it. Hoops wise right now, Lamont Paris is kind of an interesting story, you know, at South Carolina, kind of a calm, collected guy. You got Bruce Pearl on the other side, who is just such a, it's a character, man.
Yeah.
I think that's what I like most, is that we've got so many different parts of the spectrum in all different type sports. Like, one of my favorite that comes to mind is Beth Tarina, the softball coach at LSU. And I love Beth. They're actually playing really well this year. And so she'll come on my SiriusXM show. You know, a lot of coaches, you know, they have their own lives and they're in the building early. Every time that Beth will call in to do my radio show, she's legitimately like in carpool line with her kids. Like, she's doing Taylor, like, she's listening to Taylor Swift and she has to turn it down and tell the kids to hush while she drops them off. And I'm like, this is a successful coach, arguably one of the best in the sport. And they're just, they're just normal people. And I think that's what we fail to realize, is like, these people are just, they're messed up. I mean, they're fun. Yeah. They're great too. And they now they don't, you know, order Uber XLs like some people. Have you told that story? Like,
no, I mean,
you have to tell the story. I mean, you're on camera now.
Well,
so
I'll rehash it. So this morning I got an Uber. It was the first one I've ever gotten, and it was pretty easy to do on my phone. And there's had the list of all these things, like, you can get a black car, you can get a black SUV, and I was like, well, I'll get the XL. You know, I'm a big guy. So I thought the XL meant the size of the passenger. So I clicked on it. Of course, I am curious why it costs $40 to go 1 mile. But at this time, you know, I didn't want to be
late. Does it come with snacks? Like, what's going on here?
Well, I get in the car, and he's like, where's everyone else? And I was like, this is it. It's just me. You know, so internally, now that I know what that means, I'm sure he's like, man, I hit the gold mine with this kid.
I mean,
I'm surprised he didn't ask me for a ride back, you know, when he dropped me off.
Yeah. Like, I can pick you up as well, too. Like, Uber XL.
Well, let me ask you, because you're a busy guy, and I've always been curious, you know, watching you on TV and stuff, like, behind the scenes, especially during football, what is like a normal Saturday for you? How does that, like, do you get up at 2 a.m. to get all the stuff you need accomplished that day? Or
only if the kids are up that early, you know? No, I mean, you know, it's for us, what people don't understand for like my gig, the easiest time of year is college football season.
Yeah.
Now, it's the biggest because everybody talks about it. It's the most interest and the fan base, the money and all of that stuff. But it's easy because we're only talking about college football.
Right.
Like, in the spring, I'm doing men's hoops, women's hoops, softball, baseball, men's and women's golf, I mean, gymnastics, I mean, all of those sports. So we have a bunch of stuff in the spring, and we travel a lot. But for football season, you're just geared there. So it's actually great. So, you know, we'll get into studio like around probably 8:30 or 9.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have SEC Nation that comes from site. But then I'm backup. So, like, if anything ever happens and we have a weather issue or whatnot, they're like, all right, let's throw it back to Charlotte where our studios are at. So I'm kind of on backup there. And then I'm just watching games. Like, it's legitimately, I mean, I hope my bosses don't watch this, but I'm like, I would do it for free because I'm sitting there. I'm like, I get to hang out with Chris Doering, who's one of my best buddies, and Benjamin Watson and all these guys. And I'm like, guys that I watched grow up play, Takiyo Spikes. I'm like, I get to sit here and watch them watch games.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, It's like what fundraisers are built for. Absolutely. And this is what I get the chance to do. So then we legitimately talk about it. They're so passionate about it. And then we just kind of take those conversations we have that we're watching the games and just do it for a halftime show. And then the next show. And then at the end of the night, you're just like, dude, that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
do you ever get, do you ever get done and you're just like maybe talking with someone and you're just like, I can't believe I'm talking to this person
every day.
Is there one, like maybe
right
an
now,
athlete or something?
He's doing it right now.
Well, yeah. The Uber XL legend. The Uber XL legend. Well, the first day we launched the network, I remember getting the phone call and, you know, and I'm scared shitless. I don't know if you can curse,
no,
but
just gonna blurb it out. Hell yeah.
Because I'm like, I've never done television.
Yeah.
Like what, I mean, I'm such a fraudulent person. I'm going to do one show and they're going to be like, don't cut, like cancel the contract. Right. So they call me and they're like, we're sending you down to Baton Rouge for your first show. And I'm like, this is great. I'm born and raised in Port Allen, Baton Rouge. I'm a diehard LSU fan. You see the Sox. I mean, I'm all in on the Tigers. And they're like, yeah, you're going to interview Les Miles. I'm like, oh my God, that's great. They're like, and you'll talk to Jacob Hester. I'm like, that's my hero. And then we become good friends. And like, and the first thing that you do is we launch the network. You will be our correspondent from Baton Rouge, and you're going to do it with Ben McDonald.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I get goosebumps, literally goosebumps right now just talking about it. Because Ben, I grew up watching LSU baseball, right, and he was just, you know, a legend. And so we get down there to LSU, and I'm nervous as hell. And we you know, interview Les Miles, and that goes well. We hang out with Hester, and that goes well. And then we have to do our first hit with the SEC Network. So I don't know if you ever remember when they first did the inaugural broadcast. They went to every single of the 14 schools, mm-hmm, and they're like, all right, this person's at A&M, and this person's at Florida, and they would do something. They're like, all right, we're going to throw it to LSU, and it'll be Peter Burns and Ben McDonald in front of Mike the Tiger's cage.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, we launched on August the 14th, and if you've ever been in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, August the 14th, it's 185 degrees and 90% humidity. They asked us to get there an hour early, and we are suited up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, it's, you know, you just got to, you know, dress the part. And me and Ben are just dripping wet because we don't know when they're going to go to us. Well, it gets so hot that and we start sweating so much that the little IFB that tells us our communication to Charlotte melts.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So we don't know when they're going to come to us. And now everybody's panicking. And I'm like, if you're panicking, I'm really panicking. Y'all know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And so then they have to get on a phone call to hear our studios in Charlotte about when we're supposed to go. Well, mind you, you know, when you're hearing an IFB, it is milliseconds. There's no delay. So they say, go, go. Well, on a phone call, it's about a second and a half delayed, which doesn't sound like a long time, but in television, it's 9 days, right? So what ends up happening is they're on the phone and they're like, all right, now go. Well, we've been constantly wiping sweat off of our brow. So when I hear go, I'm in the middle of just absolute just right there. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's warm. Oh, and hi, welcome to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I remember everybody, they're like, but this kid from Colorado, because they didn't know me at that point. I was from Denver. And they're like, this kid from Colorado ain't made for the SEC Network. They're like, look at my boy sweating. But we still laugh at it.
That must have been before. The first thing I remember SEC Network was A&M South Carolina.
Yeah, that was the first game, right? So what we did was the first game. Remember, that was Kenny Trill, the quarterback right after Johnny Manziel, and it was, hey, okay, here's someone got another Heisman candidate type guy. That was the first game. It was A&M South Carolina, big conference matchup. If I'm not mistaken, South Carolina was ranked pretty high because that was
they were
Spurrier.
Favored. They were at home, and then they got their ass kicked.
And A&M beat the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And so, but we had launched probably 2 weeks before that as like this grand, you know, celebration. And then you'd had, you know, 2 weeks of kind of shows kind of leading into
when you're season. Independent. I remember now, like, you don't pay for the cable till the day of the game. That's the way, if you can't afford it, you know what I mean?
I mean, that was a big deal because remember it was, and that was part of the beauty of when the SEC Network launched, is that with the relationship they had at ESPN, that there was some leverage of like, hey, you know, if you were going to want ESPN, you're probably going to want the SEC Network as well too.
Right. Yeah.
And like the old way that cable used to work is the fact of you wanted to expand your conference based on how many television markets you could get for cable.
Yeah.
So there's probably some research that went into going, all right, we've already got all these other states. We're not into Texas. Okay. And Texas, we're not at that point at 2012 or 2010 with these conversations we're having, they decided that they went with Texas A&M to add the Texas footprint and then Missouri to add the St. Louis and Missouri footprint for how many households they had, because that was how the money was made versus on cable subscribers. And now it's flipped 10 years later. Is not so much as the cable model has changed. It's a matter of what's going to be the biggest brands that you have. And so when Texas and Oklahoma looked at it and they said, well, we're going to move somewhere. We're just not happy with what's happening in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I imagine the SEC was like, well, if you're not going to come, you know, if you're looking to leave, okay, if you're leaving, we'll have those conversations.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have those conversations, guess what? Then the Big Ten or somebody else was going to say, yeah, Texas, Oklahoma, you're leaving? We'll take you right now. And so that's how, you know, we're here, you know, getting ready to launch with 16 squads.
Do you think, I mean, that's the big talk was like, are they done? You know, we never thought we'd have Texas because of A&M, and then here they are. So is there any?
I don't think there's a rush. Yeah. Like, I think there was a rush for to kind of pull away and when those brands were out there. And I think the Big Ten looked at this and said, we need to add people. It's an arms race. We need to add Oregon. We need to add Washington. We need to add USC. We need to do all this stuff. I think it's all because they wanted to keep up with the SEC.
Yeah.
Like, I think everything, especially with Sankey's leadership, is that we're going to be a leader. We're not going to react to everybody. We're going to handle our business the way we handle our business. And then it's, you know, you're going to keep up or you're going to get trampled. Yeah. And I don't think, there's a lot of people right now that are talking about, well, the SEC is the big bad bully and they're trying to just, you know, get away and break away from college football. It's like, if you see the latest proposals of the college football playoff, you know that's clearly not the case. Because if the SEC and the Big Ten want to just get together and say, oh, to hell with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, why are we splitting billions of dollars between all these different conferences when we can just split billions of dollars between two conferences? That's a whole lot more money. I think Sankey has looked at that, and his background being in the NCAA, I do think that he actually does care about the game of college athletics.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't think that Sankey or Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, want the proverbial kind of blood on their hands of saying, hey, they're the ones that changed the entire landscape of college football. But college athletics and realignment has been happening for a century.
Right.
Like, this is not anything new. It's just we have the recency bias of people moving conferences right now. I mean, that happened in the 1900s, in the 1920s. Swanee, Georgia Tech. I mean, yeah, I would imagine Swanee probably wants that. same thing with Georgia Tech and Tulane.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You know, you go back and look at, because there were some questions about Florida State coming into the SEC, and you go back and look at the history, and I started diving in, doing my nerd thing about Florida State. And Florida State tried to get into the SEC for years and years and years, and even got to the point where Florida had said, all right, we'll champion you. Like, you know, like going to a country club, someone's going to vouch for you. Like, finally in the 50s, they were like, Florida's like, come along. And when one of the spots became open, they were going to add one school. And then they decided, well, it's either going to be them or Memphis State, which is now just Memphis. Yeah. Oh, and they just decided, you know what? We can't decide which one we're going to do. Let's just back away from the whole thing.
That's crazy.
And so you think about those small decisions of, you know, Georgia Tech and Tulane, where they're at right now, respectively. Like, people don't understand. You go back to the history of it. Georgia Tech was much more dominant than Georgia.
Right.
Okay. Back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, or wherever it was. And then all of a sudden, obviously, when they left the conference, Georgia started, you know, taking off, and they became the program. And now they're the gold standard of college football.
You mentioned your buddy Chris Doering. The whole reason I wanted to get you in here, I wanted to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Do you just, do you take joy in these victories that your annual Florida LSU bet that you have with them, or do you just take it for granted that you're, like, you've already got the next 10 lined up? Because where Florida's at, where LSU's at, I mean, I can't imagine that streak ending anytime soon.
There's the birth of my two children, and there's the LSU-Florida wager every single year. These are the three highlights that I have in my life. Because, listen, I hated Florida growing up as an LSU fan, because I remember my parents had moved back to Baton Rouge, because we grew up in Texas for a while. So I went, and I was like, you know what? I can't wait to go back to an LSU game. So we went. I was so excited. Man, it's LSU. It's Tiger Stadium. This is what I grew up loving. And I was like, oh, it's Florida. This is going to be great. And we got there, and it was Spurrier in that visor.
Yeah.
And they beat our ass like 52-3 or something like that. And I was like, to this day, I'm like, middle fingers Florida, like, not happy with that. And then now, you know, Doring has become such a great, I mean, I hope he doesn't watch this because he's a great dude.
Oh, you're safe.
Yeah. No, he might search for his name. You never know. But he's a great teammate. He always shows up. I mean, no matter if we're talking, I mean, we could be talking about South Carolina softball on our SiriusXM show, and he's like, yeah, dialed in. And yeah. So he's got that, you know, kind of walk-on mentality. That's yeah. great. And then it's a life of its own. I think it's 5 years in a row. And then we had the famous LSU Florida College World Series bet where you had to dress up as an LSU player and walk to the airport.
Was that your favorite punishment that you've made him do?
I mean, so far that one was a good one because it was such a build up and there was like a month, you know, the College World Series happens. There's, you know, we put a wager on it. Florida, I want to say, I can't remember it is. I think LSU had won the first game, and then Florida came back and whooped them the second game by a ton, and then LSU just, you know, crushed them, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's how it went down. And so then 2 months later, we had this buildup of that you had to show up at media days towards. And now, I mean, to this day, we'll have, you know, Brian Kelly, you know, the first time, you know, one time I made Doring dress up in a clown suit, mm-hmm. and we had not told Brian Kelly this. Yeah. This is his first year. Yeah. So BK comes on the Zoom and our SEC this morning show on SEC Network. And sure enough, he hops on the Zoom and he's, you know, I asked the first question or whatever. And then the second question is from Doring dress up in a clown suit. And this, the picture of Brian Kelly, like, what in the F did I get myself into? And you think, like, this is Doring, like, SEC legend, like, one of the best players, and he's dressed up in a clown suit, or he's dressed up like Tiger King and all these idiotic deals. The problem is now I'm running out of things to make him dress up as. Right. And it's going to be tough sledding for Florida probably this season, so I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's probably a pretty good chance that he's going to be dressing up as well, too.
It is. Do you think Napier will still be employed by that game?
I think so. I mean, he's in a tough spot because right now, you know, you're trying to find yourself. Florida State's gotten better. UCF is now in the Big 12. Miami's made a little bit of a move. Like, Florida has, you know, six or seven different schools inside the school or inside the state that can actually recruit really well. And then everybody, the Georgias, the Clemsons, everybody else, the LSUs of the world, they're going to Florida to recruit as well. So it's tough. Now, the schedule he's got coming up this year does not do him any favors.
Right.
I mean, that's probably arguably one of the toughest schedules in the history of college football because you got to go run through the SEC gauntlet. Mm-hmm. Then you're still playing, I think, Florida State. You're playing Miami. You're playing UCF. And there's another school. Like, there's no break.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we'll see. And I think the expectation levels for schools are going to change to a certain extent now with the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, it's playoff or bust, I think, for a lot of SEC schools, fair enough.
Yeah. And I think that's good, though, because when it's playoff or bust, whether it's the 12-team playoff or the 14-team playoff, what eventually happens is, like, there is – like, in basketball, there's a success. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily cutting down the nets, or it's do you make the Final Four, okay? If you didn't, or did you at least make Sweet 16? Did you make the tournament, okay? Yeah. That's the next step. And so I think for a lot of the programs – I would say probably Georgia right now is the only one that it's championship or bust because there's so much change in Alabama. There's so much change everywhere else. Everybody else is like, did you at least make the college football playoff?
Right.
And if you didn't, it's time to reevaluate where we are as a program. Yeah. And I could argue that, you know, Vanderbilt is still in a series of flux right now, and hopefully that they can get back to where they've been before, but it's going to be difficult. But pretty much every other school in the SEC – within a 1 or 2 year period, if you do things right, why can't you be in a 12-team or 14-team playoff? There's no reason why you can't compete for that. And that's going to be good, especially with Texas and Oklahoma coming.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect place to end it. Peter, before you go, the audience already knows, I'm sure, but can you tell them how can they follow you and everything on social media?
I'm a Uber XL driver, and so if you want to get on there, you know, tip well right there. No, I mean, it's... you know, social media at Peter Burns ESPN is probably the best way where I get in trouble there, and same thing on Instagram and what. And so I don't have a TikTok, or I have a TikTok, but now that doesn't look like going to be an option much going forward. So, and then again, I do a Monday through Friday SiriusXM show. I'll do SEC Network is my main gig. I'll call stuff for PGA Tour Live, do the PGA Championship this year. I've got a chance to do Mad Dog Radio
nice.
This week for SiriusXM, so that was kind of fun. So. Yeah. I'm a fan living their sports dreams. So yeah. It's been a blast. And this has been fun, man. Got to do
it
again.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in, bro.
You got it.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.